afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Searsfrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, February 18th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic. What a great day it is today.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I've had a pretty good day myself, actually. I really have. I've actually got a few things done today, and that's amazing. Usually I just spin my wheels, but I got something done, so.
Well, about time.
It's about time, yeah. I'm working on my third edition of the section 3 of the book I've been writing. I've got two of them out already, and the next one's coming up, volume 3. So I'm working on that right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, good. Good, good, good. Well, everybody was happy today who owns gold and silver. We had gold up strong today, beating over the $1,600 level. $2,180 right now in the New York spot price. $1,603.60.
All right.
Silver had a great day, up 43 cents at $18.30. Platinum was up 23 at $997. And palladium, the amazing metal, up 87 at $2,638. And folks, if you haven't sold your palladium by now and traded into gold or silver, man, take advantage of it. Could it go to three? Yeah, it could. But I mean, even at $2,638, it's a buy, or it's a sell, I should say. The USDX today is up 0.30. And at 99.45, and I think that's what I find interesting about the precious metals market, with gold in particular. They've actually been moving up, and we've seen this huge move in the U.S. dollar index. And it's really interesting, and I think gold will certainly hold out longer than that index will hold. So it's pretty good to see the metals up at the same time that the dollar is rising, or the index is rising. The paper markets today, they were down triple digits, but really it's no big deal. The Dow was down 183 points at 29,214. The NASDAQ was down 3 points, 97.3. It just bumped to the upside. I got new numbers in. It was up 1, 97.32. The S&P was up 9, or I'm sorry, down 9 at 33.70. Let's see what the euro is, 108. It's been holding there for a while after the big drop from 111. European and Asia markets were all down. Hong Kong was down 1.5%. Japan was down almost 1.5%. And, you know, it's really strange. Greg Hunter had called, and I tried to convince him to come on today's show, but he had some other things he had already scheduled. And he said to me, it's really interesting to see gold up so strong when there's not a lot of news out there, and I had to agree with him. But there is a lot of, you know, some news out there. You have Apple coming out. You have all these, U.S. corporations over there in China. Nobody knows how the coronavirus is going to affect the economy. You know, there's reports coming out now that China's basically almost in a free fall. We reported there's news out there how factories, you know, they might be opening, but they don't have employees. We talked about their housing in China, you know, dropped, what, 90%, you know, in a month. I mean, it's just, no one really knows. So no one is even giving numbers on how they're going to be affected. And, of course, they're all talking about the stocks drop mainly because of Apple's report today. It was a sales warning, and in reference to the coronavirus outbreak. And the world's most valuable technology firm said that it was going to fall short of its recently announced quarterly sales target because of slower iPhone production and weaker demand in China, and that sent its shares down 2.6%. You know, you could say that's a lot. You know, if it would have been 8-9%, I would have been a little bit more. But then with that news, it sent the Apple suppliers. You had Qualcomm, Broadcom, Skyworks Solutions. They were all lower by, you know, almost 2% and a little bit more. You had the China-exposed chip makers. They slipped. So, I mean, they're all slipping. I don't think yet that those numbers are too severe, but I think this is just the beginning of what we might see. And you have, let's see if there's any other interesting news as far as shares and so forth. Food shares are beginning to run, except for Conagra. They shed nearly 5.4% after the packaged food company lowered its full-year profit and sales outlook. I guess, Butch, that's a good idea. Packaged food companies are going down. I mean, people are not buying the packaged food crap anymore. So, but it was really sort of a quiet news. It was the first day back from a holiday. So it sort of is like a Monday. The news, to me, reminded of what we've seen, what we usually get on a Monday. So, but there's a lot of weird things happening out there.
Well,
you have
like
that.
I'll ask a question before it slips my mind. I'll ask you a question. First off, I'm tickled that silver broke big finally over $18. It took it a while, but it made it over $18 finally. That's a good hit on silver, it really is. But the markets weren't down. Usually when the markets go up, silver and gold come down. This time the markets didn't really move a lot, and gold and silver went up a bunch. I mean, I wonder what's happening there.
Well, I don't really relate. You know, you can watch gold in the stock market and the bonds. I didn't see what the bonds did, what the 10-year yield did today. But it's the dollar. And as I said, you've seen the dollar rising. I mean, 2 weeks ago, the dollar was breaking 97, and now we're, you know, mid-99. So that's a big move in the U.S. dollar in the index, and gold is going up at the same time. And usually when you see that happening, this is a breakout for gold. I mean, that's a pretty good indicator. Let me just see here what the 10-year deal did. 10-year yield, 1.56, so there wasn't even a big move in that. Yeah, we're down at 1.56. I mean, yeah, that's pretty low, and it probably will go lower, but at this point in time, as far as the trend in the last couple of weeks, it's, you know, been hanging in there around 150 to 160. So I don't know. It was a good breakout for silver. We'll see if she can hold it. And but a good day for gold with that dollar strength.
Yeah, I mean that is amazing, and I'm thrilled. Maybe they're losing control of the price of this finally. I guess that's possible, isn't it?
You never know what kind of control they can have. I'm sure I think their control is becoming shorter. I'm not going to say you can always, you know, pull away their control. I don't think they become. You know, their interests are elsewhere. You know, when they're trying to keep the system together, you know, gold is going to go, you know. So, I don't know. I don't know if they're losing control, but they might be losing control of the ability to keep the system going, which would allow gold to go up. What I also
I think
noticed,
it's wonderful. I mean, whatever the reason, gold and silver have made a huge gain the last 2 or 3 months.
Absolutely. I mean, look, we all know gold was manipulated down to the low prices. And who wants gold? It's easy for them. They're little markets. Who wants gold when the stock market is rising to the degree that it has? Nobody's interested in gold. So now you're beginning to see a little bit of pressure on the stock market. And with the election coming up and no one's knowing who's going to be the next president and so forth. So you might get a little wiggy on these markets and so forth, but I don't know. I think we're at a breakout point in time. So what I wanted to find is my information. You know, we've been talking about the repo market. We've been talking about how much the government, as the Federal Reserve, has been putting in there. And last night I had a article, and would you believe I can't find it today? I didn't have the exact numbers, but the Fed is looking to cut back on the repo market, and it actually started on Friday. And so what we're seeing today in the markets behind the scenes, I wonder how much of that. It'll be interesting to see how this week goes in that repo market. to see if the Fed was able to cut back as much as they wanted to, or will the banks and corporations come in and, you know, this week is the telling week, I think. I think it's a telling week.
No doubt. No doubt. What do you think will happen if they do cut back? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
Well, if the rates start rising like they did before, the whole reason they came in there was because the overnight repo rate went up to 10%. So the Fed came in there to get that rate lowered. So the thing of it is, so if that rate starts to rise, it's going to kill their credit, or their debt, I should say. So, you know, it's the Fed will have to forget about it. We'll see if the Fed can actually ease themselves out of it. And if they can't, then Katie bar the door, because it's here sooner than later. So we'll see if they can see if they're able to cut back in this overnight market. I mean, they're still giving money into it, but they're trying to ease out. And are they easing out little enough so that it doesn't spook the markets and, you know, they're in there, but there's a huge demand, you know, for the Fed to stay in there. So we'll see. Don't know.
Well, it is, I mean, something sooner or later has to give. We know that. We've been saying it for a long, long time, but it is starting to show a lot of cracks. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. I mean, there's a lot of things coming down. We'll discuss in a little bit the coronavirus that is going to affect some things here, too, in our country. A couple of very important industries are going to be affected here soon. So we'll discuss that in a little bit also. And this can be another reason why we're going to see a lot of big cracks coming.
I mean, you had the Japan economy, that shrank by 6.3% annualized in the fourth quarter. That's the biggest fall since 2014. And what has Abe been doing since then? He's been pumping money into the system. You have China, the central bank, they cut their one-year rate by 10 basis points to support their economy through this virus crisis that they're having. You know, Asian shares, they're all easing off three-week highs, all because of this virus. So, you know, it's this is the impact that the virus is having. And I think it's just beginning, because the virus is happening in economies that have already been weak. So.
Well, it's going to be something. A lot of things really happened here. And Melody, this happened all around the world. I mean, really and truly, you already know this, we mentioned on the program last night, some counties in Virginia are actually discussing moving into West Virginia. You already know that. But would you believe that in Oregon, some counties in Oregon want to move over to Idaho? When's the last time you heard about states wanting to secede from the Union in our lifetime? Or secede by the states, you should say. When's the last time you heard about that? This is how messed up things are getting. We have parts of states wanting to leave and join other states. That's not a good sign for a society, is it?
No.
It isn't. And if the economy does crumble and things get worse and after election, no matter who gets in, it's going to be really nasty. I wonder what's going to happen then with people disagree with each other. In Oregon, the we'll call them liberals, run the state, and some of the people around the edge of the state don't like that. They want out. Same thing happened, of course, in Virginia. So if who knows, Bloomberg gets elected, or Bernie gets elected, or Trump gets reelected, what's going to happen to trigger even more? And we're talking just a few months away now, Melody. We're not talking about a year, 2 years away again. We're talking about, what, 6 months to election?
You know, someone said to me today that they get really upset because of their conservative friends, the way they support President Trump and so forth and whatnot. That's like, well, why do you get upset? They get upset at you because you support the liberal. That isn't any reason to deny. I mean, if you were friends, how can anyone allow politics to come between family and friends? That goes beyond. I mean, yes, but that's what has happened. We have been so divided. We have picked sides. We have chosen sides.
Yes, we have. We have.
And it is. I just can't believe. And it's both sides. It's just not one side. It's both sides. You know, and I support my side. I support our side. We're the conservative side. I support that. But, I mean, it just baffles me how people can be so hateful to friends and family over politics. But that is just...
Well, I have to give Trump credit for one thing. He has polarized the nation more than any president in my lifetime. He certainly has done that very well. I mean, Obama had
maybe
nothing on him.
Maybe he's just exposed what was just hidden for so long.
It could be, but he certainly brought it to the forefront. You know, we're talking about states seceding, parts of states to other states. And if I lived in Alabama now, I got to share this because it's kind of funny, but it isn't funny. Would you believe that Representative Rolanda Hollis from Alabama introduced House Bill 238 that wants to make all men in Alabama 50 years old or older, 50 years old within 1 month after turning 50, they have to have a vasectomy, or if they already have three children, they have to have a vasectomy. So if they're 30 and have three children, they have to get a vasectomy. Folks, I'm not making this up. They said the bill simply states under existing law there are no restrictions on the reproductive rights of men. So they're going to want men to, after 50 years old, within 1 month, to have a vasectomy, or if they have three children, have it right away. This is actually a proposed bill in Alabama. I think I moved to Mississippi. But I mean, think about this. This is how divided and how insane our nation has become.
It is insane. They're nuts.
I mean, they are nuts.
People and that's, are nuts.
And I don't understand how in the world these kind of things could even be given consideration. You know, I heard a sermon one time, a really good sermon. He said, when you bring something up and you put it to a vote, or just bring it up for consideration, you give it validity. No matter how obscene it is or how stupid it is, you bring it up for discussion. You give it validity. And that's really something we're seeing happen here. This is brought up on a bill. Now, it'll probably not, it's not going to pass, I wouldn't think. But now it's been brought up. They'll bring it up next time. Maybe this time they'll lose the bill 100-1. Next time maybe it'll be 80-20. But eventually, if they keep bringing it up long enough, somebody's going to say, well, you know, that makes sense. And that's the sad part of it.
These people are nuts.
That's where we are.
I mean, what do they do? Sit around and say, well,
what dumb thing to do next?
We're heading into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home. Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And let's see.
Do you want to discuss the election, the primaries, briefly, or no?
Oh, you're going to really get me in trouble. Go ahead.
Well, I mean... I'm sitting back and scratching my head and watching this and thinking, this is insanity. It actually isn't funny, but I have to laugh a little bit or put you insane. Bloomberg, trying to buy his way in, obviously, has spent $124 million already for the Super Tuesday taste coming up here, you know, next week, I guess it is. And compared to Bernie, who's spent $10 million. Bloomberg has 55 people out working, paid staff, and Sanders has two paid staff. Bloomberg's seriously looking at this, and actually, now, I'm not making this up, he's considering Hillary Clinton maybe as a running mate. I don't know that's going to happen.
I don't believe that at all.
Well, I'm not making it up. It's written in an article. You can look for yourself. I don't know for sure, but he has to pick somebody. So who's it going to be? I don't know. But I do know this. The man is arrogant as he can be. In a speech he made, I think, back in 2016, he really put a... I think a hard hit on farmers. He made them look like primitive idiots. He said, I could teach anybody, even the people in this room, to be a farmer, said Bloomberg during a 2016 talk at Oxford University, in an now viral clip in which he called agriculture a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn you added. You put a piece of metal in the lathe, you turn the crank in the direction of the arrow, and you can have a job. So he's making fun, we'll say, of lower echelon people as far as status goes. I mean, making fun of farmers, making fun of blue-collar workers, and he's running for president trying to save the country. Ha, ha, ha. The man can spend billions of dollars on this election. And if we think Trump was out of touch with the common guy, this guy's so far over him, I think, financially, that it's not even funny. But to call farmers more or less a simple people because, hey, anybody can put a seed in the ground, that is ignorant beyond words, not to mention arrogant beyond words. You follow what I'm saying?
I do. I think... Now, I've heard several reports on that, and a lot of the video that they show, they don't show the whole video. Some of it has been cropped. Fine. Everybody does it. Both sides do it. So I don't have a problem with that. My problem, what I believe, with Michael Bloomberg... He is probably the most dangerous man we could ever have as president. I believe everybody throws around Soros's name here and there and blah, blah. Yeah, I get it. I know where Soros is. You know, I get that. But I think Michael Bloomberg is probably a new generation of Soros. I think he's a very dangerous man, and to our country.
I agree. And he and Trump were good friends at one time.
Yes.
He and Trump were good friends at one time. Yeah. They're both from New York. I mean, they were good friends. So I don't know.
I'm sure they still are.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably are.
It's just theatrics. It's the same thing when you see a courtroom. You have two attorneys. They're barring. You think they'd hate each other. And they'd chew each other up and spit them out. You walk outside. They're shaking hands and going to lunch together.
Well, it's like the wrestling matches, you know, where they practice wrestling in the matches, who's going to win, who's going to lose, and they go out and they beat each other up in, in the ring, and then go out and have a beer together and get done. And that's the same thing here. You know what I mean? Obama and the Bushes are good friends. That is a fact, folks. You look up and we're sitting together drinking and talking. These things are all just facade. Clinton and the Bushes are friends. They're playing us like a fiddle, Melody. They really are. And it's been that way for a long, long, long time.
I can remember an interview right after President Trump's election. And I'm not getting on President Trump today. We're going to talk about something else. But I can remember him being interviewed after how many months of hearing, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there saying, well, the Clintons are a fine family. In an interview. So.
Yep. That's a fact. I mean, it's been choreographed now each election since in our lifetime, I'm sure. But I didn't catch on to it until, you know, four or five elections ago. This is all facade. I really thought back in 1990s, if Newt Gingrich cleaned the house, we could turn things around. I did believe that. I thought we get Republicans in office, they'll change things. Boy, was I in for a surprise.
Yeah, didn't he get
kicked out?
Same
thing happened with Trump. Pardon?
Gingrich, didn't he get kicked out for ethics?
I think he did. And you know, when Trump got in, we put all Republicans in control. What happened the first 2 years in his? What did he change in 2 years that he could have maybe changed? So you just figured out, folks. It is what it is.
But it is amazing. I guess they're going to have the another. It will be interesting to see how. I don't know if interesting is the right word, but I'll stomach it for as long as I can to watch the debate with Bloomberg in there and see how old Bernie. But I'll tell you what, Bernie is getting some steam.
Yes, he is. He's front runner now. Yes, he is.
He's getting some steam. And, you know, it's funny because I hear that, you know, if Trump wants to run against somebody, he'd rather run against Bloomberg than Bernie. Because Bernie has a little something that Trump has. He has the ability to excite his group, and that's hard to beat. You know,
well,
that's
I think
a
they're
bit
all scared of Bloomberg.
Pardon?
I think they're all scared of Bloomberg because they're all attacking Bloomberg. Every one of them is attacking Bloomberg. Maybe they're scared of his money. I don't know. But they shouldn't
sure,
be getting a hard time
with his money. They can't compete with his money.
No, they can't. They can't. No, they can't.
But I don't think any of these candidates really know how to compete. I mean, I just... It's like they're competing. They're running to lose. When you look at these campaigns, it's like, well... I don't know. It looks to me like they're not... They really don't want to win. Yeah, it's... What they say, what they do. I mean, and none of them will talk about the economy. I mean, that is the one thing that they could.
No.
That is the one thing that they really could show numbers for and say, you know, this is going to happen. You know, but no, they're not. They don't touch it.
Well, do you remember when both candidates used to run on the idea of cutting the federal budget and trying to save taxpayer money? Remember to save taxpayer
not
money?
Anymore.
Remember that? And you used to talk. Not anymore. They don't even mention it.
Yeah, that's my point.
How could he mention the at least $23 trillion in debt all right now? At least that much, and probably three, four times that much. How dare they mention it? They know they can't fix it. They know they're blowing smoke, and most people realize they are too. That's why they don't mention it.
You know why they can't mention it? Because they're afraid it'll crash.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, afraid of the crash economy.
They'll crash
could
the
be.
Economy. That's a taboo subject. Because you got to remember too that their constituents get a lot of that money. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's very true. And many of them are in office now as a senator representative trying to get more pork from the government into the states they come out of. You know that's
sure.
Very true. We won here and they had Robert C. Byrd as our senator longer than. But I've been alive, and he brought in lots of pork in West Virginia. He really did. And people loved him.
McConnell's probably the best genius at it than any of them.
Oh, I just love it. But, you know, moving on a different topic. Now, I keep saying, in my opinion, this coronavirus will blow over, hopefully being of April. I still believe it's going to. But as of right now, it's looking pretty serious in China. It's affecting other countries. And you may have seen this, but a Chinese villager is tied to a post and scolded by a hazmat-clad inspector refusing to wear a face mask during coronavirus outbreak. The man was actually tied to a post. You can see this on video. And according to the reports, that they've destroyed about $600 million of currency. Of course, it's yuan, but of currency, because of how it may be infected. And thieves in Japan stole 6,000 masks. They stole 6,000 masks. And even beyond that, in Hong Kong, now this is really, folks, this is even hard to swallow. Armed thieves steal a truckload of toilet paper in Hong Kong, and mean worsening shortage. It's getting so bad because Hong Kong gets a lot of supplies from China, obviously, and they're actually stealing toilet paper. So the thieves stole a truckload of toilet paper. It wasn't worth a fortune, obviously, but it's getting scarce. And the cops haven't caught him yet, but the cops said, well, they'll probably leave a paper trail. But anyway, I mean, we're laughing about this, but it really isn't funny. When toilet paper becomes such a precious commodity that thieves will steal it, that's getting pretty serious in my mind. What do you think about that?
That'll wake people up. But what we also woke up, we have Scott joining us, Butch, from New Mexico.
Okay. All right.
So, hello, Scott. Welcome to the program. Hello, Scott. Are you there? I guess we lost him, Butch.
Okay. He can try back.
He can try back.
Like Scott. Yes. And one more thing on coronavirus I think is important to share, because this one really affects all of us. Coronavirus outbreak exposes China's monopoly on U.S. drug and medical supplies. I said this the other day. Yeah. How ignorant can people be that they trust their so-called enemy to keep them well?
How ignorant.
It says China is a source of not only finished goods, but also of input parts and raw materials. A substantial number of materials needed for defense and electronic systems come from China. And that nation is the single or sole supplier for a number of specialty chemicals, according to a recent Defense Department report. Folks, that we even buy parts from them to defend their country. Oh my, we're smart people. Rare earth minerals, which are critical to electronics, are largely mined in China. As a result, China disruptions don't just hit Chinese manufacturing, they hit everyone's. Automakers have already had to slow or shut down factories globally due to supply shortages. Perhaps the biggest concern is over medical supplies. China produces and exports, and listen to this, a large amount of pharmaceuticals to the U.S., including 97% of all antibiotics and 80% of the active ingredients used to make drugs like penicillin, ibuprofen, and aspirin, largely come from China. Last month, a medical supply from Cardinal Health recalled 2.9 million surgical gowns cross-contaminated at a plant in China. The blood pressure drug Vasertan also saw shortages recently thanks to tainted active ingredients at one China plant. The combination of supply chain disruptions and increased demand at hospitals if coronavirus spreads to the U.S. could prove devastating. Wow, that is kind of scary.
It is. We have Scott now, Butch, from New Mexico.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Okay.
Welcome to the program.
Hello, friends.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. That was Denny Hastert. Was that disgraced Speaker of the House you guys were reaching
for? Oh, yes.
There
you go. Yes.
There you
go. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. And homosexual young boys, you know, but I'm sure they gave him a raise and no jail time for them, see? But see, this is my big argument. A bad cop gone worse? Why is it that they're not subject to law? The worst that they can suffer is lose their job.
Yep.
And maybe a small fine. But if it's you or me, they'll put you under the concrete.
Or kill you.
Follow me. Yeah. Anyway, I love this. Me, Mini Mike Bloomberg, 60 billionaire, all Chinese resourced. Okay? The man's about 5 foot nothing in stature. And, you know, that's the way God made him. But the point is, the man is vying for the president, and he's just a distraction. See, this is what they love is their distractions. Look, you know, I wasn't going to go here, but Donald Trump, to me, Butch, I think you could relate, kind of like a King Cyrus. We must pray for him. Lord willing, he can become saved by the grace of God. But that's God's call.
Yes.
Anyway, I just wanted to say about our president, I love him dearly, and I hope for him that they don't hurt him. But he is the last vestige of reason we have to help this country go forward. And so a second term, I think, is eminent, you know. But as far as our president is going, he has been attacked by, you know, everything. You know, they try and lay at his feet the fact that you haven't done anything in 2 years. How can he when little yippy dogs are tearing him asunder at the ankles while he's trying to go forward? You know, you wait till his second term comes alive, and he will. I really believe he will indict these wicked Democrats that are just on. There's no real difference, you guys know, betwixt the two parties.
Of course.
But the point remains, this needs to be satisfied. This needs to be. You can't partially clean house. As a foreman in my business that I'm retired from, I would clean. You know, when they said you're foreman, I'd clean house. I'd get everybody out of there, and I'd have my own people in there. That's how you do it. He made a big mistake with Sessions. You know why Sessions failed as Attorney General, and he was reluctant to even make a move? It's because he had skeletons in his closet, i.e., or an example of that would be the prison system labor force that he made all governors make and all people of high of state make plenty of money on the prison camps where they pay them a few cents per dollar. And that's what he's hiding. That's what Sessions, you know, he should have never taken that job. Now, you know, Barr is a Jesuit, okay? And this Pope he's a Jesuit. And they always promised, the Senate always swore they'd never have a Jesuit as a white Pope. But you know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, yes, I do, yes.
Yes, sir. And anyway, you've got a Jesuit as Pope. And I just wanted to just kind of straighten a couple things out, but you guys are right on. I love you both of you very much, and I appreciate.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Scott, and thank you for calling. We're heading into a break right now. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. Today, President Trump said that he was going to grant clemency to Michael Milken. He was a legendary bond king from the 80s who served several years in prison for violating securities laws. And he has since become a prominent philanthropist. So how do you go from... So it looks like he's given some back, and he, you know, he deserves to... I wonder those who lost... I wonder what they think about that. But he also is commuting the sentence of former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich,
mm-hmm,
and pardoning ex-NYPD Commissioner Bernard Carrick. So, just a...
Well, maybe that's good. I can't remember what that guy at Illinois did. What was his? I can't remember what he did.
He's trying to sell the Senate seat. Obama's Senate
seat.
Oh,
okay. Yes. I remember that now. Yes. Okay.
Let's commute that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's been in jail several years for that already. I mean,
I think he got like 14 or 15 years in jail, and he probably got half of that time.
You don't generally get that much time for murder anymore, so that's amazing.
I know.
It is. You know, last night's program I mentioned about the states that pay people more to be at home and not work than to work. You know that. I mentioned last night on the program. And do you know that in Hawaii, the welfare recipients make an average of $29.13 an hour to stay home? That's not bad money, is it?
No, it isn't.
$60,509 a year welfare in Hawaii. Gee, I think I'll move out there. D.C. is next at $50,820. Massachusetts is $50,540. Your state's $38,160. I would have thought California had been near the top, but they're actually number 12. And the three bottom ones are Oklahoma, Louisiana, and South Carolina, 21, 22, and 22. So average in West Virginia is actually 24.9. So we're above the rest of them. But when you can make more money by not working, what's the incentive to go to work? Socialism, Melody, socialism causes lazy people. You know that already, of course.
It does.
It causes lazy people. You know, the people may not know this, but when we were first founded as a nation, when the Pilgrims and Puritans came over, the Pilgrims actually tried socialism the first winter or so. And they about starved to death. The governor, Bradford, finally said, listen, this isn't working. From now on, you raise whatever you want. And you live with what you raise. You can barter if you want to for other people. You raise potatoes, I raise corn, whatever. We'll barter it. And from that time on, the colonies prospered and started growing financially. Free enterprise took off. It didn't take them long to find out that socialism would not work back in the 1600s. But here we are in 2020, courting socialism to the nth degree, and then with Bernie Sanders and others running for office. And we're seeing the results of that in states like Hawaii and Massachusetts. Well, you can make almost $30 an hour just sitting there. That's not a bad deal for the people getting it, I'm saying. So socialism will cause people not to produce. Supplies will get lower. Prices go up. And it's just a round and round track to go, just like in Venezuela and other places have collapsed because of this. So I just want to run that by you. Any comments?
No. I mean, it's... You know, I mean, basically, we're already a socialist nation.
We are.
And socialism is the next step to communism. And, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, the youth of today, they don't view socialism as anything bad. They view it as, you know, it isn't the same socialism. It's different this time around. You know, it isn't related to the, you know, what it was before, these third world countries. We're better. We're different. Socialism is the new bleeding heart liberal you know, term, I guess. But I'm going to go back to this one thing. I just got to get this off my chest, then we can talk about something else. And again, I'm not criticizing the president or something or anything like that. Commuting these sentences to, I guess it was a lot more than just the few that we mentioned that I mentioned. I guess he granted 10 others. He commuted Blagojevich's sentence and grants clemency to 10 others. I don't mean to sound hard-hearted or mean or anything like that, but you know what? If you do the crime, you do the time. And, you know, now people do crimes thinking, well, you know, my attorney can get me off in 5 years. You know, I'll be charged with 5 years. I can get out in 2. I can do 2 years. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I mean, what? It irritates me, Butch.
I understand.
If you do the crime, you do the time. And I get that there's a lot of times that on some of these minor criminal things that you shouldn't be. But you know what? These white-collar crimes, these guys are sitting in probably fairly decent conditions. Yes, they're still in a building. And so, I don't know. It's just, you know, club fed, you know, considering, I don't know, Butch.
Well, normally, Melody,
it's not right.
But normally, if you can afford a good lawyer, you can pretty much get a sentence commuted or at least lessened. It's folks like you and I that can't afford a $200,000, $250,000 lawyer to do a case for us. Those are the ones that end up paying the longest price. Obviously, that's true. And it's just the way it is. You get what's the old saying, that you get the justice that you can afford?
It's just, I don't know.
Is something that really affects us here in West Virginia.
I don't think any president should be allowed to commute sentences and so forth. I think if you go to a jury and the jury, it should be just as black and white as that. And I don't think any president should be able to commute sentences and pardon people.
Well, you know, now you have judges who overrule the juries. You know that.
Yeah.
The jury brings back a sentence, whatever, guilty, not guilty.
Yeah.
And the judge overrules them. So what use have juries in the first place?
That's right. So no wonder there's no accountability for anything and why everything just goes on. And that is, you know, the true, you know. And that was the one thing that made America great. I don't know if we were always this corrupt. I hope not. I don't know. Anyway.
Obviously at one time, perhaps, I can't remember who said this, but, you know, the people we put in office are the same ilk that most people are. I mean, if an individual is raised in a corrupt society and maybe a wicked home or whatever, he has a chance to turn out just to be as wicked as anybody else. But when the leaders and the judges lose the morals, there's nothing left to build on, Melody. I mean, if they're corrupted, who do you turn to for justice? You can't go to the courts. You can't go to the senators and congressmen because obviously they're not even paid by us. They're paid by the IMF. Why do they care about what we think? So where do you turn? Society produces people, obviously, and if you expect a cop to be any better than anybody else, you better think again, because they were raised in the same society we are. Now, you and I may make a better cop than some others, but those people are coming out of the same society and the same mindset that everybody else their age did. Every once in a while, a good one comes out, but a lot of bad ones come out also. So when you have a whole nation set up on people, leaders like Bill Clinton was, he was a dope head and a womanizer, and Trump was a womanizer, and going from there, I mean, say what you want. It's just, it's a fact. When the leaders have no morals and the people will not demand the morals to be there, then there's nothing left to build on.
True.
Once morality is gone, the foundation is destroyed.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. But I was just saying, though, this next article really has put a hurt in a lot of states, including West Virginia, big time. We were at one time the world's largest producer of coal. The nation's largest producer of coal. The industrial heartland collapses to a 35-year low. Coal shipping in the U.S. has just dropped to almost half of what it was. Even under Trump, who did come along, and Obama about shut it all down. Obama really put a hurt in the coal industry. He said he's going to before he's elected, and he did. Trump did come back in and get things moving a little bit again as far as getting the industry back up. But in West Virginia, Kentucky, and some surrounding states, all we have is coal and wood, lumber. We have plenty of trees. The lumber industry is not big enough, though, to maintain the state's economy. Coal mining once was, Melody. We really, the counties and the states prospered from coal severance taxes and, of course, payroll taxes because people, the men were making pretty good money. They were producing coal, and coal was used in power plants everywhere around the world. But all of a sudden, that's kind of drying up, and the coal industry is paying it. And I know living right here in the middle of coal country, it's a hard way to make a living any longer. It's so undependable. My neighbor lives right above me here, was laid off a few months ago and had to go back driving a truck because he couldn't make a living working in the coal mines. He worked one day, sometimes 2 days. He couldn't make a living on that. This is what's happened to the bankruptcy of companies like Peabody, which one time was the largest coal producer in the world. Peabody, I mean, I remember they were huge. They're bankrupt now. So that is, we can say what we want, but whether you make a living in a coal industry or auto industry, when you lose your job, you lose your job. That's it. When you lose it, you lose it. So where do you go? McDonald's? When you're making $250 a day, you go to McDonald's, make $50 a day, I mean, can you survive on that? Any comments?
You know, we have this big push with natural gas. You know, and that's the, I would think, one of the, you know, the main competitor of coal. I mean, is that true, or?
Well, it depends a lot on the region you're in. And here in West Virginia, especially in the northern counties, they have a lot of non-natural gas. Where I am, there's very little natural gas. And they built a pipeline right down, it actually almost touched my property, they're still building it, a pipeline from the northern states. Doesn't even stop here in our area. It goes right on past us, right on down in Virginia and other places. We can't even tap into it. Natural gas passes right through our home, so to speak, and we can't touch it. So it's not benefiting West Virginia a whole lot. It isn't. I'm sure there's some people that do have natural gas on the property that are doing well, and that's fine. But overall, no, it doesn't touch us a whole lot.
But what about
we can't siphon it off?
Well, what about just the competition? You know, replacing coal with natural gas.
Well, I haven't seen that a lot yet in our area. Well, actually, there's not a lot of industry in our area. In power plants, different places, even there's one in down next to Charleston, below Charleston, there's one there I think still uses coal. And they are discussing doing away with that. Some other plants are starting to switch over to other fuels to run the plants. So I really haven't seen a huge push yet that I know of on any major industry for natural gas here, although it is starting to lean that way. So it may take a few years to the transition, but I'm sure they will sooner or later.
But that's going to hurt the coal mines even more.
Of course it is. And of course people, environmentalists are crying that natural gas is as bad as coal. And when they frack for natural gas, they literally do destroy a lot of underground water supplies. They actually cause earthquakes. Now, folks, this is all documented. They ruin people's water supplies in their homes. They sink wells. And I'll tell this story very quickly. I worked in coal mines myself for a few years, a long time ago. And I was shooting coal with dynamite off of what we call the face. They would cut into the coal, drill holes into it, and I load dynamite and shoot it down so they could load it up and take it out of there. I shot a shot one night in a real high coal, and coal was probably 20 feet high, which is very dangerous, but it was about 20 feet high. After I shot, I walked back in a little way to see what it looked like. I kept hearing that click, 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 and I come, what is that? It's metal on metal, and there should be metal down there underneath the ground. Looked up in the corner, found that I saw a foot valve on a well from somebody's house working. I sunk their well.
Wow.
Made me feel bad, you know. But I didn't know. So that's what happened with natural gas, too. They're sinking people's wells.
Wow.
There's things happening that they don't talk about.
And people do get sick from it also.
Yes, they do.
I do believe.
Yes, they do. So that's my story.
You know what? I think we're just about out of time. You know, I turned on the local news this morning, and, you know, they were talking about climate warming, global warming. And this person created this thing that you place over, because they were talking about, I got in kind of in the middle of the story, but from what I gathered, it was they were saying that cows, because, you know, everything is blamed on the cows, the methane gas. You know, we always think it comes out one end, but this guy was saying it's because the cows burp.
So I've heard that. I've heard that. I've
so
heard
he
that.
Created
yes,
this mask for these cows to go fit over their nose. And it's
well, they actually make diapers for them also. They make diapers for them. I'm serious.
But this is supposed to somehow prevent or keep the methane gas that they burp from going in. I mean, and these masks will be available for sale for less than $50. So, I mean, it's just like, and it was, the funny thing about it is the gentleman that was reporting the story, he just sat there and looked straight ahead while he was, I mean, you know, he was about ready to crack up. But
well,
I mean,
you know,
like,
I have a few head of cattle.
Kidding?
I guess I have to buy diapers and masks for my cows now, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
Can you picture a cow walk around and feel the mask over his face and diaper on his rear end? Oh, gosh. We are so insane.
But I don't know. I just figured getting a cow a little bit of antacid should work. You know, I don't think he has to wear. Just give him a tum or, you know. Anyway, I'm glad we're
well,
out of
go.
Time because there wasn't any way to follow up on this story. But we'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. So until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.